Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, man, dude, I'm loving this.
Sweet jersey, Edwin.
Yeah, you know, this was intentional for both of you guys since both of your teams lost. I was, you know, last man standing. And Miami. Last man standing here in South Florida. Miami FC won their first USL game of the season, 2-0 this weekend. So they're undefeated and on top. So shout out to Miami FC for, you know, doing what none of you guys could do, win a game this weekend. How about that? Yeah. Take that, big ball and spending clubs with your fans, European South American players.
I give full credit to Arielito for.
Yeah. Arielito, for sure. Wins.
New assistant coach, Arielito Martinez.
That's right, bro. And they got the Italian guy who's the coach. What's his name again? He was the crazy Italian guy that Nocerino, I think it was. He played in Orlando, I believe. Anyway, we'll have to go back and look that up. But yeah. But anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Vice City FC podcast, season dos, episode. What are we on? Six? Yes.
Six.
Episode six. This is the panic episode.
Time to panic at the mix zone.
Panic at the mix zone. Okay. Yeah. I like it. I'm your boy Larry Fresh. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. As always, I'm joined by the incredible staff here at Lemon City Live, the one, the only Fungus, producer Fungus, who all things Orlando, repping up there. And of course, man, you know, our boy here, our connection, our 6 degrees of separation with Messi. He's our 1 degree right here on the only Xavi Guerrero. So
big show today. Same barber.
Yeah, there you go. big show today. We're gonna talk the seasons, and we're starting to gather up steam. There's a lot going on with Major League Soccer. You got Champions Cup. You got MLS season. We just finished Match Day 3, but Inter Miami has actually played 4 games already, plus Champions Cup games. So we've got a lot that's happened. So by now, you kind of feel like you have a good pulse on the team. So we'll discuss where they are. Are they doing great? And we got a tale of 2 different franchises right here, because you got Inter Miami that gets off on the hot start, right? They just lost their first game, but we could make an argument that it's time to panic. It's time to panic for Inter Miami. You could make that. And then you have, you know, just north on the turnpike, you go to Orlando, and you got Orlando City, who's lost every game, has just scored their first goal. And is it time to panic there? Yeah, I think it's time to panic there. We'll discuss. We'll do more of that. And then at the end of the episode, we'll go over Xavi's power rankings, top 10. If we have time, we'll get to that. So, but let's get to it, man. Inter Miami. We'll start off here locally. Gus, sorry, you get the boot to the second block. Anyway, Inter Miami, tough loss this weekend. There was a little homecoming. A couple of former Inter, like 3 different Inter Miami guys, right? It was Ari Lassiter, your boy, the Duke of Las Olas, and of course, Joseph Martinez came back down representing. The blue and black of Montreal came down here, and they gave it to Inter Miami, a Messi-less, sans Messi, Inter Miami squad. There was no Messi on the Herons. There was Busquets came off the bench, I believe. Suarez also came off the bench. It was the load management game for Inter Miami, but Jordi Alba was back after illness, and he was illness, right? He was just sick that he didn't play the last game, he came back. And you saw something there. Let's talk about it, Xavi. You were at the game. Is the scoreline was 3-2. It was a little crazy, but it was 3-1 at one point. And Miami looked completely out of place. They looked completely outmatched. But tell me, you being there, seeing it, and seeing those familiar faces putting the hurting on Miami here, how did you perceive what was happening on Saturday?
Well, like you said, it's a load management game by design. You know, a lot of youngsters were placed into the starting lineup. I don't think it was a terrible loss for Miami, given the fact that you had, let's say, a young kid like Lawson Sutherland playing an important role in the midfield. He's a guy that's, you know, wet behind the ears. He's just getting his first professional experience. And you had Redondo, which was interesting. Yeah. I liked this game because it showed you, you know, a future Miami. It showed you some of the young kids that they're still not ready, but it showed you that there's some potential there. Redondo is right off the bat a leader. You could say it right off the bat, a leader. He's in there pointing, telling people where to go, and giving a really good effort. He had every game, it seems like he has a nice run forward, you know, taking the ball and creating something. That's something that I like to see. And I like the fact that he was able to sit there in kind of the Busquets role and do a decent job. He did it, you know. Is he Sergio Busquets? No, not yet. But does he have a potential to be a very good player? Yeah. We're talking about Busquets, the best, one of the best fives in history. So I'm not comparing him that.
Yeah.
Although his dad Fernando was also one of the best. So, but he showed a lot to me in that game. He showed a lot of temperament and a lot of quality. So I like that. You had Noah playing, you know, left center back, young kid. He's been around, but he's still a young kid, right? And you had David Reese playing right wing back. And this is not the first time he plays that position. And it's not the first time he looks really good doing it.
Okay.
He looks really good doing it. He had himself a good game.
He's filling in the role of DeAndre Yedlin there, who we traded away because of all the, you know, financial situation that we've gotten ourselves into here, right?
Yeah, because Gressel played further up top where he's more comfortable and where he's better. I mean, Gressel had a couple of passes that could have been goals. He had at the 31st minute, he had a very, I wrote an exquisite pass into Taylor in the box that Taylor just chipped and hit off the crossbar.
We got to give the golden ticket to Gressel, though, because homie had the game of his life against Orlando with the assist and looked like absolutely. All the questions that we had going into the season, and the slow stuff, right? No, he balled out and like he's like, okay, like it was just such a calming
game
presence.
Time now. It's game time now.
It's you like, know, oh, man, he's good.
We haven't talked about Kampapi. Kampapi got his goal, right?
Yeah. I want to talk about Kampapi. I want to ask you about it because I know you talked to him after the game and you asked him about, you know, him wanting to play up front with Suarez and everything. Look, with Kampapi, man, I want him to be good because he has everything, size, skill, good looks. He's got everything. He can finish. He has all the skill and he's had the opportunity, but I feel like I keep making excuses for why he hasn't taken over because I don't feel like he's a good player. I feel like he has takeover capability. Like, he's that kind of guy that – why can't he be like Bowanga? I mean, he doesn't have the speed that Bowanga has in MLS, you know? But why can't he be a guy who's a threat like Cucho, you know, or like Chicho Arango? Like, he has the skill set, the everything to be a guy, a great player in MLS. And I feel like I'm always making excuses. Like, oh, okay, he was behind Higuain or that he was the backup and then the team was bad and he didn't have any playmakers. But, like, I still haven't seen him just put it together and just separate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to like run out of excuses for why I'm not happy with him, if that makes sense.
I think everything you said is perfectly, perfectly valid.
Thank you.
I think he's a player that should be more consistent and dominant in,
yeah.
in his skills. Seem to be above the average player in the league, right? He's been injured too much for a young guy. I think that slowed down his progress. And somehow he hasn't – he just hasn't shined. He hasn't blown up how he can or should. We've seen flashes in some games where, you know, he scored three goals, the first hat trick for the team in the history against New England, you know, a couple seasons back. And he showed promise sometimes. You see him heads the ball very well. He rips that ball with his left wonderfully. He can shoot with his right. He can make good passes. In this game, he gave a beautiful assist to Jordi Alba that ended in a goal. Unfortunately, Alba was offside by like a hair.
Barely.
But that showed what a player like Campana is capable of, right?
Absolutely.
Sort of like Suarez, a guy that scores but can assist his players. He needs to look at Suarez. He needs to learn from Suarez. And he needs to understand, I need to be this type of player. I need to be a player that if I'm not scoring a goal or two, I'm giving an assist or two. I'm there. I'm doing something. He definitely is lacking that.
So if you're Tata, I'll put you on the hot seat here, Chavi. How would you fit him in? Like, do you still... Because I feel like he should be starting. I don't know how to line it up. I'm not the tactical guy here. I'm not gonna. I could maybe brainstorm a formation here, but you who sees it and you're watching these games, I feel like he's not gonna get to that level coming off the bench. You know, at 20 minutes at a time per game here. You know what I mean? 30 minutes a game. That's it. Because that's the max he's gonna get coming off a bench here. I feel like if you really, But then again, it goes back to all the excuses I've been making. Like, he's had opportunities where he started games and he still didn't do it, and he didn't like put it together consistently. How can he look at a guy like Suarez and be like, all right, that's who I need to emulate, that's who I need to, you know, model my game after, if you're not on the pitch? Like, how would you
They would have to do that. You can definitely find a way, but you have to have a tactical formation shift. You know, Tata won't be able to use his five in the back that he loves mm-hmm. to use.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, he would have to be in a formation where he's up top with Suarez and you have Messi maybe cutting slightly underneath. You can use him in a 4-3-3, you know, start him like if he was a winger, but realistically, Messi always drops and they'll be up top. I think in a formation like that, that'll work. Mm-hmm. I would love it because you'll have Messi. He's never had Messi feeding him balls like that.
Yeah.
He's never had someone of that caliber. And now if it's him and Suarez, who do the defenders? You got to pick your poison, right?
Because here's the other thing, though. You put in Campana, who are you taking out? It's probably going to be Robert Taylor. And Robert Taylor, all he does is what you wish Campana would do, which is take advantage of the opportunities when you're in the game. Like, nobody has played better since Messi got here than Robert Taylor. Robert Taylor has just taken advantage of it. Like he looks like he was part. He was like the fourth. He was the Pedro of Barcelona back in the day when they had MSN. You know, he was a little Pedrito. He's taking in. He's like, I'm the little Finnish Pedrito over here. He's coming out there. He's doing stuff. And you want to see it. And I don't know if it's a
It would be unfair, right? It would be unfair. But I think his career in Miami has been unfair. Because I've always thought he was a very, very valuable player, and he's always been off the bench. Now he's gaining a little. Because remember preseason, he was like on the bench all the time.
Yeah,
we're asking like, you know, where is he? Comes in and he shows out and he has stayed in the lineup. Definitely, it would be unfair to have Taylor out, but it would be a question of who do you think has the biggest potential, right? Is Taylor at his max right now, or can Campana blow up and give you 30 goals in a season? You know, this is where you have to think, you know, what do you want to do?
Because
I think with Campana, you continue to play him 30 minutes, 40 minutes on games where Suarez is playing, but then you sit Suarez and let him play 90 minutes. There's going to be 60 games in the season, probably. So Campana can have at least a good 25 to 30 starts. That's a good number of
wishful
games.
Thinking. Okay.
Well, you know what, man? I don't want Suarez to be inflamed knees at the end of the season. So, you know, they need to manage his load. They need to manage his load. And there's games where he needs to sit out.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the game here. They're playing Montreal. It's 3-1. They're down. We're seeing them struggle. In comes Busquets. In comes Suarez, Jordi Alba, like we said, balled out. He made team of the week with his goal and his performance this week coming off the illness. But in the end,
flu game,
the flu. Yeah, he had his Jordan flu game, you know. And in the end, it was just wasn't enough. They tried. Now, is this going to be a theme with this team, Xavi, moving forward? That if Messi is not there. What was the problem? Was it the fact? I mean, obviously, when I say what was the problem, oh, there was no Messi, Suarez, or Busquets is an easy answer. But a team of this caliber, a team of this talent, and a team that has had so much invested into it, like you think that they should be able to, or they have to be, maybe not should be, they have to be able to pick up the load when one, two, or three of these guys aren't available because, you know, it's all eyes on them. They can't. This is the top tier of what it is that we're doing here, and we can't, you know, half-ass it here. So is it a lack of skill? Is it a lack of leadership when these guys are out? Or is it just, you know, is it still early in the season and I shouldn't be panicking?
I wouldn't panic, but you have to understand there's the profile of player that's missing right now. Facundo Farias went down. He was going to be that Messi-ish role when Messi's not there, right? And his ability, the way he plays, it's above any of the guys that are there right now. You had Lawson Sunderland taking that role. It's unfair to ask a young player like him, young age-wise and young career-wise, you know, and experience to even think of having that large impact. And still, he made a cross. He made the cross for Campana to score. But I think it's that profile of player is not there yet on the team like at least a mature one. That's why they were going out and they were negotiating with Matias Rojas. That has kind of like simmered down, but that player is the one that I think would be a difference maker in this team. You know, a very skilled lefty, a guy like, to me, it's Mota, but like a better Mota, like, you know, a guy that can a better shooter.
But Xavi, at this point in the season, is it wise to keep bringing in somebody new? I know, but still,
Four games in the season. The season has 34 games.
Fair. It's only four games into the season, but we've been trying to gel and, you know, get some cohesion here with this team since, you know, it's not just four games in the preseason. It's not just four games in the season, but it's also, you know, Champions Cup games. It's also 25,000 miles of traveling in the preseason. There's a lot that this team has already done, and it just feels like, all right, well, this week we'll just add another one.
Good experienced player, a veteran player like that, you come in and you gel. Look at Joseph. He came in. He's in Montreal. He had himself a good game. He looked like he's been there all the time, because these are veteran players that when you're good quality, it's like with Taylor, right? Taylor, Messi. It clicked because there's quality there. There's understanding. A player like Rojas comes into the team, I think automatically he fits in and does well based on our experience. I don't think there will be an issue.
All right. So they end up losing the game. Tough loss. It sounds to me like from talking to you that not time to panic. You feel like this is. You're not hitting the button. You're not, you know, freaking out. Gus, are you freaking out for Miami fans? Should they be freaking out?
Miami, definitely not.
No?
Why? No. Why would they?
I don't think so. I think the fact that you don't Messi for the first time and all of a sudden we're down 3-1. I know it's a good Montreal team, but we're down 3-1 at home. And for the reasons that I was telling Xavi before, it didn't feel like anybody stepped up. You know, we had Alba coming in and trying to direct stuff. But he's a left back, man. He's an aging
that
left
happens.
Back. It's not for him to be doing that. We didn't have the game from Campana that we wanted to see. We haven't had that takeover moment. Like
calendar was.
But that happens. Bad.
Calendar looks.
That happens
suspect.
In every team.
Stupid. Yeah.
That happens in every team Messi has ever played for, where when he misses the game, his teammates sort of don't step up because they're so used to relying on him.
Yeah, that Messi, you know, effect in the negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like as a Miami fan, it's all right to panic. I think it's fair to panic. I'd rather panic now than panic later, I guess is what I'm trying to justify my levels of panic here. I'd rather panic now and be like, hey, no, we got to fix this right now. We got high standards. We were undefeated, you know, and now we lost this game. And again, we're coming off a loss, right? And we're coming off a game where we were down, 2-0 to Nashville in the Champions Cup?
Yeah.
And we had to come back. So it hasn't been a good week for Inter Miami Football Club, right? Or Soccer International Club, whatever they call it, whatever their formal name is.
Club de Football.
Club de Football Internacional. It hasn't been a good week. It's, you know, in the first one, down 2-0 with Messi, you know. So, and he takes the hit too. Let's not forget that that kick that he got in the leg where it was like everybody. Like, so, yeah. Man, there was almost an Argentine revolt down here in South Florida after that happened. You know what I mean? If he was going to be out, like, there was just, like, oh, it was about to get real, real ugly down here. But
That guy's iPhone exploded.
Yeah. they're going after the guy.
Poor guy. I mean, that's for another episode and another show of conspiracy.
That's the messy mafia is after
him. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's. I think I could panic a little bit here, considering the circumstances, what's going on, and
you do that.
I'm gonna panic a little bit. I'll control the panic here for us. But their next game they're playing now. Let me see here. Saturday at DC United. DC United is not an easy game.
Not a pushover at all.
No.
But Wednesday. Wednesday is technically their next.
Well, game. I'm saying the MLS. I'm saying the next MLS game is going to be then. And then that's against one of Xavi's little spoiler alert. One of Xavi's top 10 teams this week is DC United. So that's going to be a nice, you know, top 10 teams battling each other out. And they, like you said, they do have a game coming up this Wednesday. They're going to play the second leg of the Champions Cup here at home. Well, not here at home, in Fort Lauderdale against Nashville. The good thing is they got the in this cup competition, the away goals actually count. So they have more.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, in Champions League. Yeah. Anyway,
they're
in
like
the
drinking a Heineken right now.
Yeah, you know, in the European Champions League, they don't they got rid of the away goal rule, so it's just goals. So it doesn't have that. But so that's one thing that we do have going for us. But the way we've been giving up goals, and the way Drake Callender has all of a sudden, you know, regressed and gone to being like, you know, like,
yeah, what happened?
Like, I know, but it's been a bad week for him because the goals he's been giving up, are very suspect goals here. Like, he got beat on that one early on.
And focus, if he's not there.
Yeah, so that's not the calendar we want. We want the better calendar. So if he steps up, they do have the fact that they had the two away goals. They could win 1-0 on Wednesday and move on. That's it. Win and move on. Nice and easy. Just don't get into another goal fest here. But that's what we got on tap for Inter Miami. Now let's get on the turnpike here. Let's get on I-95. Let's drive north up a little bit. Let's go see what's happening. Let's get the sub pass ready because we're going to go see what Gus has been happening in Orlando, where we have the reverse effect. We have a team that hadn't scored a goal yet in their first two MLS games, but played very well in their cup games until they played Tigres, right? That's who they played last week.
Yeah.
And it was a 0-0 draw. So... Mm-hmm. Orlando is coming in a weird funk here. They got Muriel, they got Lodeiro, they got Angulo, they got Torres, they got studs. They got El Pulpo, you know, at goal, who also, coincidentally enough, gave up a ridiculous goal the same way. It was contagious in Florida, you know, the way they were giving up goals here, the same style. So, Gus, like, what is going on here? Is it time to panic if you're Orlando fans? Because according to the coach, he says he's focusing right now on the cup. That's why he's doing this load management stuff. But he didn't have a good performance in the cup. He didn't, because that was last week's game was at home. They didn't give up the away goal, but they left home with a draw instead of a win here. And then you obviously have what happened this weekend. For those of you who don't know, they lost 3-2 against Minnesota. So, Gus, are we panicking here or are we not at Orlando?
I think they should panic. I think they should because the load management is obviously not working out for them, you know? Like you said, they ended in a draw at home against Tigres. Now they have a chance to go to Monterrey and take that series and advance past the round of 16 into the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And they can do it with a 1-1 draw even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they'll essentially be returning the favor that Tigres gave them last season. Yeah. Last season it was flipped. Both games last season, they played them in the same round of 16 in the same tournament, and both games ended in a draw, but Tigres had the away goal, so they advanced. Orlando was out.
Yeah.
So now they have the chance to return the favor. So in a microcosm of that, just that one game, you know, just that one game alone, it was a good result. But if you're looking at it from a wide angle, the fact that they hadn't scored in two MLS games and then they ended that game in a scoreless draw.
And they got waxed by Miami 5-0. I mean,
exactly.
Proper perspective here.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not a good look. It's not a good look for them. You know what I mean? The load management wasn't working out.
You asked the coach about load management, right?
I was surprised nobody else had asked him that yet. And I asked him about it and he basically confirmed what was a lot of people's suspicions is that, he is resting players because there's a lot of games being played in a short amount of time.
To me is something I always associate with like late in the season. Like, all right, we're making a run. Mm-hmm. We guys have been playing for a while. Like load management to start a season, regardless of having tournament games or multiple games, you've had time off. You're coming off the off season. This isn't like we have all these cup games and we're, you know, week match day 30 in the season where we've played a bunch of games. Like it to me, it's just, I agree. It's very, very weird that, you know, he would admit something like that.
Yeah. I think that they are just looking at analytics and trying to prevent injuries.
Okay.
More than anything. Because, you know, if you play a lot of games back-to-back in soccer, you're more susceptible to injury because of fatigue and things of that nature. So I think it has more to do with that than just keeping guys, you know, fresh and high energy in their matches.
Okay.
But it's they're deep. I don't think they should have to worry about that. If anything, you start your best players, and if it's not working out, you can sub them out. If it's a game that you don't care about that much, you start them. If it's not working out, like in the Miami game at halftime, you could have subbed out Lodeiro and Muriel if it was the same result. Bring him in after that to try to fix the mess.
Yeah, I agree. If you're going to load management, start with the guys you're protecting and then take them out and bring in. Don't start with the inexperienced people right off the bat. You know what I mean? Or the guys that you're trying to give time to. Like, ease those guys in later on in the game. Even if it's a high-pressure game, even if it's 0-0 and your team, you know, you're still fighting. But, like, let those guys come in those situations as opposed to, you know, getting down early and just letting them waste there. And then you bring in the guys that are like, all right, bro, we're down. What are we going to do now coming in? You know, we got no fight left in it, so... I see it, and it's just it is very puzzling. But I think on paper, and Xavi, maybe you can confirm this, but I think on paper Orlando seems to have the deeper roster, so I'm kind of surprised that they're really putting so much focus on this load management stuff, where Miami we got guys departing and leaving and coming and waiting for visas, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We were very thin, so you know, I could kind of justify that a little bit there. Plus, there's an older team. I mean, do you think, Xavi, you think Orlando has the deeper roster?
Definitely has a very, very deep roster. The day that they played Inter Miami, I was looking at the rosters. I looked at their starting 11, and I looked at their bench, and I saw good players everywhere. And not just good players, because Miami has good players, right? But I saw players with experience on the bench, too. Good players that have experience. That not players like Miami that are Sutherland's a good player, but he's a very young player.
Yeah, I had no clue who he was when he came in.
Exactly.
You're like, well, he's been on the reserve teams. You know, I'm like,
on paper, if you're going from top to bottom, Orlando would be the stronger team. If you're looking overall star power,
better nine, players, just your better 11. I mean, your better 11 would be
to me, you know, Inter Miami because you have Messi and you have the other guys. But deeper team, I think it's been a surprise. Orlando's debacles have been surprising. Gus is saying this last game. Yeah, they gave up a goal like at the last minute. You know, they played, they came back, they scored, and then they just gave
up. The crazy one was the first one. The first goal that El Pupo gave up, man. I mean, it's hard to get down on him because he's been so good for so long. And even this season, that was like his first bad game. I don't even put the Miami game on him because there was nothing he could do
about it. No, at all. Yeah. No. That was just a blooper. But definitely Orlando. It's still, once again, I'll say it's only the fourth game, right? There's still 30 more. So if Orlando wins 26 of the next games, they're amazing, right? So obviously that's not going to happen. But I haven't given up on them. I took them off my top 10. Because they can't be there, you know.
You
can't be there based on potential.
And I retweeted your tweet when you took them off, saying exactly what you just said. Yeah, Orlando, you're not in it right now, but don't be surprised if by the end of the season you're in the top 5 again.
They bounce back, absolutely.
Yeah. Now I'll say this: it was all doom and gloom for Orlando here because they lost and everything. But there was one little bright point, which was. You know, I like what Gus says. Orlando runs on Duncan. I like that.
Duncan, bro. That kid. I asked him after that game because I told him, you know, I've noticed you're playing with a little more umph. Is it because of the failed transfer? And he, you know, he gave a very political answer. He's like, no, I just play like this all the time. I'm like, okay,
yeah, sure. So, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Exactly. But he does. He plays hard all the time. I've noticed that it's been a little extra this season. And he came out the gate. He came right off the bat. He scored in 13 seconds. He broke the record. For the fastest goal in club history. Wearing number 13, he scored in 13 seconds. And coincidentally, the last guy that did it also did it in wearing number 13.
Yeah, look at that. So that's your little bright spot if you're an Orlando fan. You got something to look forward to. Duncan finally got his goal here.
And he got two goals. He scored another goal later on.
There you go. So more to be happy if you're Orlando. Now, Orlando this week. Oh, go ahead.
And if you were watching that game, they were the better team throughout the whole match. They took like 22 shots that game. Oof. That was the stat. 22 shots. And they should have scored like 7 goals. They were super unlucky. Yeah, they had like three one-on-ones with the goalkeeper that either they missed or the goalkeeper had an amazing block. They were just super unlucky. You know, that should have been their first win of the season. And I think if they keep that in mind and they keep that mentality, they should use that as motivation to be like, all right, on Saturday when we go to Atlanta, we're going to fuck them up. You know what I mean?
Okay. So let me ask you here. So, okay, so you said that they outshot. So it seems like they outplayed them. It should have been their game to win. They should have won 7-2 or whatever the final score would have been if El Pulpo didn't make the mistake. So it sounds like you're compensating for a team here. So are you telling me it's not time to panic, or is it time
to panic? No, it is. It is time to panic because...
A slow panic.
So it's a slow simmer panic.
A controlled panic.
Of course.
A panic this, and a martini. Look,
tomorrow's game in Monterrey against Tigres is a huge game because if they get eliminated, Coach Pareja is gonna have to deal with a shitstorm that's gonna come his way, man. Yeah, and I wrote that in my article. If they get eliminated, he's gonna be on a shorter leash than he was than anyone could have anticipated this early in the season.
He's in that Phil Neville territory, you know.
Neville's in first place. Hey, if they lose that game, then they have to come MLS and play Atlanta, another tough game. So they could theoretically go bang, bang again, and Pareja, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Or to be fair, I don't want to throw everything Orlando under the bus. No, but
you're the doom and gloom guy. What do you mean?
I know, but I'm going to try to be nice. But they could. Think about where we could be next Monday when we're doing the podcast again, where Orlando could be coming off two wins. They could have beaten advance against Monterrey or against Tigres. And they could have gotten a win or a point or salvaged something against Atlanta. And then we're having a whole different conversation next Monday. So we'll see. We'll revisit it. We'll see how it is. But they do play
That's soccer, bro. Week to week like that, narratives change so easily.
Narratives change, but this could be this is probably the biggest week of this coach's life because he has to bring in some results here for his livelihood here. But if he wants to keep his job or avoid all the questions about his job, he needs to put in a good performance this week at both games. And
that's a good question for Gus because you're there. What's the atmosphere around the coach, around the facility? Do you think that the administration's getting on him and telling him, hey, new results, or do you think they're backing him and saying, it's only four games. We're giving you more time. We believe in you, and you're gonna get the team out of this. What do you think is going on there?
I haven't seen anybody in-house getting on him. It's mostly fans that are getting on him, but that's what fans do. You know what I mean? So it appears like he is getting support. You know what I mean? But I would I just have to know they spent money this offseason. They brought in a lot of big name guys, because they knew that they had a team that was capable of winning. No, not just one trophy, but multiple trophies this season. Exactly. Yeah. So if it looks like he's not going to be able to get that done, I wouldn't be surprised if they do put him on a very short leash.
They were in second place last season in the East. Best season ever in Orlando City history.
And they got stronger, and they're
celebrating their 10th. And they have these horrible basketball uniforms that they came out with. God, they're awful. I don't even want to talk about those things. Those things are so bad. But, it's a hard time right now. It's been a hard week for Orlando fans. But like Gus said, they're playing on Sunday at Atlanta. Yeah. We'll see. Atlanta's hot right now. But just how hot is Atlanta? Is Atlanta hot enough after a 4-1 win, I believe they had this weekend, where their star forward, Georgios Giakoumakis, the Greek freak of MLS, had a left-footed hat trick. He scored all three goals with his left foot, including one that was bad. Was really sick. Did he do enough to bring Atlanta back into the top 10? Let's take a look at our official 11 City Live MLS power rankings after match day 3, and there I don't see Atlanta gaffer. On there.
There's the man, the legend.
No Atlanta, but Xavi's favorite coach ever. He probably
Atlanta's right there under the Red Bulls.
Right under Red Bulls. Okay, so they're right here. They're right the screen there. Right there.
No, where were they? Where were they last week?
I think it was 7th or 8th.
Okay,
yeah, I think so.
My head.
Yeah. I got to go back and look. But Phil Neville, I mean, I know Xavi has a picture of him in his house, like in a frame, favorite coach.
We're buddies.
They're buddies.
He's got a life-size cardboard stand-up, bro.
Yeah,
I like his picture. I like that jacket, too.
The jacket, he looks happy. He looks he was, you know, he was a good guy. We gave him a hard time.
Great sound bites. And then he asked for his freaking respect. Show me some respect. And he's getting some respect. He's getting some respect in Portland right now.
Yeah, so we got the West.
We got the crew, the champs, right? They're back to the top. They haven't lost. They won again.
Let's go over real quickly here. Let's go over the list here. We'll start at number 10 for those that are listening on the podcast and don't have the benefit of this incredible stream capabilities that we have right now. You got Red Bulls at 10. They're breaking into the top 10 for the first time. LAFC at 9. Toronto, big win. Beautiful goal by Insigne against, I forgot who they were playing this weekend, but they ended up winning 1-0 off this incredible goal from outside the box, a curler. Like classic Insigne. So it was great for them.
Charlotte,
that's what it was. Good Charlotte squad too. DC United, you got at 6, but sorry, skips Montreal. Montreal cracking the top 10 here. I think you had them at 10 last week. Yes. And now you put them at 7. So that was a big win. They took off your prior number one. We'll get to your new number one now. So you got Montreal, DC United. Galaxy staying strong. You got a lot of love for the Galaxy. I guess you were very impressed with that that second game of the season there.
I really liked the wingers that they brought in, and Ricky Puig, I think, is going to have an MVP type season. He's going to be in contention. So I think it's a strong team.
Yeah. FC Cincinnati coming in at 4. And there it is, number 3, Portland Timbers, number 1 in the West right now.
Surprisingly, right?
Another great start for Neville. He was in this position last season. Remember, he was like 2-0, I think, or 2-1.
And everything went downhill.
Everybody
got injured. Like 30 people got injured.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't wish him a similar fate. I don't. I like him, so I want to see him, you know, continue on. But you got Portland in at number 3. Inter Miami drops a spot. Interesting. Even with the no panic. And the fact that, you know, the GOAT wasn't playing and everything, you're still penalizing them for a 1-goal loss, and you're not knocking them down a spot.
Not so much a penalty for Inter Miami, but a boost for Columbus, who are the defending champs, who were ranked number 1 in the first poll, who dropped after Inter Miami's convincing walloping of Mickey Mouse Club up there in Orlando. and you know, they won again. So nice. It's only right that they go back to their number 1 spot in Miami. Still strong team at number 2.
See, totally professional pundit. You saw what he did there, right, Gus? Where I told him, oh, so you penalize him. He's like, no, I didn't penalize him as much as I gave these guys credit for their win.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow, that was a professional move right there, Chavi. I like it, man. You got me. I got to tell you, though,
Montreal, I feel like, is low on that list, bro.
You think so? You know, some people
undefeated on the list. Undefeated, and all of their games have been on the road.
But you have to start where they were ranked before, right? Before the season began, and then after
they weren't on his preseason rankings. So you got to value.
No, they weren't on anybody's preseason ranking. I'm the one that put them up at number 2, and now everybody's putting them up somewhere. So who knows where everybody else? I don't look at everybody else's thing, but I know that they weren't on people's radar. Toronto is another team that's just, you know, playing better than what people expected, right?
You know what I do notice here on your list, though? All these teams, you know what they have in common? They got big-time stars on these squads, you know, foreign stars with the Red Bulls. Starting at the bottom with Red Bull, they got
Forsberg.
They got Forsberg. They got Tolkien, their left back, who's like a beast, one of the best players in MLS.
He's a stud.
LAFC, we know all the stars they got. Toronto with the couple of Italian job that they got going on over there. Montreal, quietly though, they don't really have a star. They have a former star in Joseph Martinez. I wouldn't say he's a star anymore, you know, because he's obviously on the decline. Injuries.
Very solid and compact, hardworking. One of those.
The Duke of Las Olas.
And the Duke of Las Olas was a future star.
You have my guy, the Duke.
And you look at DC United with Benteke, the Galaxy with Ricky Puig, FC Cincinnati with the reigning MVP. Mucho. Portland has Evander. Portland has a Colombian guy too, Aspria, I think is his name, and they got some ballers up there. And obviously, Inter Miami and Columbus have studs too. So it's nice. You notice that you see what works star in power. MLS right
what
now.
You,
star
what
power.
You like? Star power.
Star power, baby. That's what I like. More power, baby. So there you have it. That's the top 10. I like. I like what you're doing, Chavi. I like what you got going on with the list. Big fan of it. Keep it going. All right. So I think we're getting ready to wrap up here. We're up against the end here. But any final thoughts, any predictions, anything you guys want to share here before we sign off for the evening?
Just how important it's going to be, super important how bad Messi's injury is. I mean, he took a really big wallop to the leg. Yeah. That's going to be, you know, super important depending on how much he can do in that match. Because if he's not playing, Nashville has the green light to take that game. Although it's at home, everybody else is going to be there. So it's going to be a stronger Inter Miami team. And I expect them to at least, you know, take the 1-0 or 1-1 draw and keep moving on.
Keep it going. Gus, I got one question for you. Next Monday when we do this episode again, what are we going to be talking about the Orlando coach? Are we going to be talking about how we overreacted this week, or are we going to be talking about that some changes need to be made? Give it to me.
No, he'll be fine. I think they're going to move on past Tigres. They're going to advance for the quarterfinal. And I think they'll lose to Atlanta, though. So
okay.
I think we'll still be kind of unsure.
All right. So another week of uncertainty. Maybe we'll play panic, not panic next week again. But for now, the consensus seems to be Miami, don't panic just yet. Orlando, hit that alarm. It's time to panic, but it's good to panic early than later. I guess that's the consensus there in Orlando. So, all right. From all of us here at Lemon City Live, thank you guys for hanging out with us. This has been the Vice City FC podcast. Be sure to download, subscribe, tell your friends, tell everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Gus, thank you. Chavi, thank you. Everybody, have a great night, and we'll see you next week.